Well, good morning to each of you this morning. It's good to see all of you that came out as we've gathered to worship God together. And I know that my heart was stirred this morning pretty deeply as we sang some of those songs. And just gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. There's nobody else that we can turn to who can lead us and who can feed us. We desperately need our shepherd, and we have a good shepherd. We do. And the challenge for us, as Rick so brought out so well, do we know his voice? And have we learned to trust him as he leads us? I guess in my mind, for a message, my mind, even at the end of last week, having come through revival meetings, my mind was stirred already last week in some of the things that Rick was sharing. And as I thought about, you know, we've come to the end of these meetings, and unfortunately, not all of you could be here to hear what Rick had to share, but some powerful messages. And the question that kept going through my mind is, where do we go from here? Where do we go? We've heard this truth that's been presented to us, and presented very well, very vividly to us. Where do we go from here? Or, you know, I'm applying it to revival meetings, but really it's any time that God speaks to our hearts through his word. It doesn't have to be revival meetings, it can be any time. Where do we go from there? What do we do with the truth that's been presented? And, you know, we can respond in those meetings, and we can feel God calling us and speaking to us. And we may even come front, and we may make commitments. What do we do with that? Where do we go? And I think the real work of what God wants to do is just beginning at that point. Because he's spoken to us, and he's challenged us, and he's convicted us maybe in some areas that we need to change. And it does take courage to respond to God's call to us in our lives. But I believe that's just the beginning of the work, of the journey that God has us on as we journey with him and as we answer his call. And I believe that as we respond to God, the bigger work actually lies ahead of us. So what is going to be different in our lives tomorrow or next week or next month or even next year as we look at revival meetings, as we look back at revival meetings that we had with revival meetings last year, as we look back at that and look back and find ourselves again this year at the end of revival meetings, can we look back and can we see growth? And now as we look ahead, we've had revival meetings, we've had these special meetings, now as we look ahead, what lies ahead? Are we going to get to the end of next year when revival meetings come around and be at the same place that we are today? Is God's word making a difference in our lives? I guess that's my concern. That's my heart this morning. Is it making a difference? Because I believe that it's important that God's word does produce results in our lives. It's not a take it or leave it thing. Jesus, and this isn't my text, but Jesus in John 15 talks about that as he talks about the vine and the branches. He says, the branches that bear fruit, I'm going to prune. Why? So they can bear more fruit. But the branches that don't bear fruit, I'm going to take away. And that's pretty serious. And he says, I'm going to take them away and man gather them and they're going to cast them into fire and they're going to be burned. What is the fruit of our lives? Is the truth that is presented into our lives, whether it's on a Sunday morning, whether it's in our small groups, whether it's at another meeting somewhere else, but when truth is presented in our lives, is it making a difference? The change can only happen by the work of God and His Holy Spirit. That is true. But I believe that you and I play a part in the production of spiritual results in our lives. I really do. We have a role to play. I'm looking at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, I'm going to be reading down to verse 9 and then jumping over to 18 and reading down to 23. As I said, a familiar passage of Scripture, the parable of the sower that Jesus told. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, and because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Over to verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you for the way that you have taught us. Father, help us to take your word and to be able to apply it to our hearts wherever we're at. Thank you for your faithfulness in working with us and your patience. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'd like to look at this and this passage of Scripture. I've titled my message, Productive Soil. And I'd like to look at five requirements for productive soil this morning. And as you look at this passage of Scripture, you'll say, wait a minute, there's only four types of soil there. And I believe the first one that I would like to make, the first P, the five P's of productive soil, the first is to be present. You have to be present in order for the seed to be sown in your life. And as this farmer was sowing in this field, you know, he was sowing the seed, but the seed was falling right where the farmer was. And of course you'd say, well, that's obvious. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Of course that's what happens. But the difference between this, between us and some of this soil, is that we are soil with legs. We are soil with choices. And we do make choices. And I don't know what would happen in my garden if I went out to till the garden and, you know, that rototiller's chopping and all of a sudden my soil takes off running this way and that way. And I don't want to be part of this garden. I don't want the seed. I don't want to hear. That'd be quite interesting. But anyway, we have to be present in order for the seed to be sown. You know, I believe that there are times that God wants to do a work in our life, but we can't. Because we're not available. We don't put ourselves in places for the seed to be sown in our life, for the Word of God and the truth of God's Word to be sown into our life, for our ears to hear the truth that God has. And we end up avoiding or letting other things crowd it out, and we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't do this or do that. And I want us to hear this morning, not as a scolding, but as a concern of mine for each of us, we need to hear God's Word in order, that truth needs to get into our hearts in order for us to grow. And I realize that there are reasons why we can't be places all the time. But I think in our culture, it's so easy to find reasons not to be where God's Word and where God's truth is being planted into our lives. And we can come up with all sorts of reasons for not being present where the sower is sowing. Maybe it's our priorities, the things around us that take priority over the things of God, and we choose other places to be rather than where the seed is being sown. Maybe there's fear. You know, what if I'm there and He's speaking and I'm convicted and I need to go forward? What are people going to think? Or what's God going to ask me to do in my life? What's He going to ask me to change? And so there's fear that we deal with, and we don't like that. It feels uncomfortable. There's a loss of control of our life. Or maybe there's harboring hurts toward the church or toward others, and we avoid the seed being sown in our life because of what it stirs inside of us. But God wants to do a work. Our shepherd wants, He cares about us. He cares about the things that we've experienced, and He longs for us to just be in His presence. And so I challenge us in the first P of productive soil. In order for our soil to be productive, we need to be where the seed is being sown. And there are choices that we make of where we're going to spend our time. Are we going to be where God's truth can speak to our hearts so that the seed can be planted, so that our lives can bring forth 50, 30, 60, and 100-fold for God's glory? If God's Word is going to produce results in my life, I need to be present, the first P. And as we look down through Jesus' parable, we come across four types of soil as the seed is sown and as it falls onto the ground. And the first one that we see that Jesus talks about is the seed by the wayside. The sower sowed, and as he was sowing, some of the seed went on the wayside, and the birds came and ate it. And as we look at verse 19, where Jesus explains a parable, Jesus said that the seed represents the Word of God on hardened soil, on the wayside soil, soil that was not prepared, soil that the seed couldn't go down into, and so it laid on the surface, and the birds came and ate it. And as I was thinking about, you know, where do we go from here, as we were thinking about revival meetings and the truth that we heard and the things that Rick presented, this is one of the passages of Scripture. This particular part of this parable came to my mind. The picture of that seed being sown in our lives, the truth being taught in our lives, and here is our enemy, the devil. He doesn't want us to hear it, and so he's going to try and keep us from being present. But not only that, he's going to try his best to take that truth and take it out of our minds and pull it out of our minds so that we can't think about it. We can't meditate on it. We can't keep going back to it and saying, God, what are you trying to teach me? Help me understand this more deeply. Help me understand how it applies to my life so that my life can produce the results that you're desiring it to have. Do we have a hard heart? You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us, especially those of us that have grown up in church, as we listen to evangelists and as we listen to preachers, and maybe as I gave my text this morning, that, oh, well, I know that passage of Scripture. I've heard it. And I think that it's easy for us to have that attitude. And I had to think of Rick talking about truth that keeps knocking. It keeps knocking, and all we can do is respond to it. And truth just is there, and it just keeps knocking at the door. And we need to respond to what is happening. And you know, as I was thinking about this wayside soil, the wayside soil is not prepared, and it's sort of like truth. It keeps, as truth, as we don't respond to truth, truth keeps knocking, and it's almost like the feet walking on that wayside path, packing down the dirt, so that when the seed is sown, it's hard, because we've heard that truth before. And we've heard it, and truth has knocked, and no one's answered, and it keeps on knocking. And the more we resist the truth, the more it packs down the dirt, and the less the truth penetrates. Making sense? That as we hear the truth and we refuse to respond, the repetitive knocking of truth on the heart is like many feet walking on the wayside dirt. The soil becomes hard and compacted. And believe me, that's a big deal for farmers. Right, Lewis? It's a big deal. You can't sow seed. Your fields are not productive if your soil is compacted. And so it's avoided. And that's why we design tractors and things the way we do, so it doesn't compact the soil, so that the seeds that are planted can produce results. And when we don't respond to truth, it compacts our hearts, and our hearts become hard as the truth knocks. We need to respond to the truth. And after a while, Satan can merely come and take the seed away, and it doesn't produce results. It doesn't. He wants it out of our mind. He wants us to forget it. He doesn't want us to meditate on it and understand it. And he doesn't want the Spirit of God to apply it to our life so that we can experience freedom and victory. And he's going to fill our minds with all kinds of other thoughts and distractions so that the seed is gone and it's removed from our lives and we forget it. And he will do everything in his power to divert your attention, my attention, away from what God wants to do in and through us. And so not only do we need to be present in order to receive the truth, but I believe we need to protect the truth that God has planted in our mind, because Satan wants to snatch it away. And I believe we protect it by preparing the soil of our heart. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later, for the truth to go down in. Because when the soil is prepared, the seed can go down in and the birds can't get it. Satan can't get it and take it away if we have the soil of our heart prepared to receive God's word. So we need to be present. We need to protect the truth by preparing the soil. And moving on, verse 5 and 6. Another type of soil that Jesus talks about is that of the stony soil. How the seed is sown in the life, in the stony soil, and the seed takes root and quickly sprouts up. There's a little bit of soil there on top of the stony soil, but it quickly sprouts. But after a time, it withers away and dies. And Jesus, as he's interpreting his parable in verse 20 and 21, he says, these are like the people that joyfully receive the word. You know, man, wasn't that good messages? Weren't they good sermons? Man, it was great to be here. He was a good speaker, and he had a lot of good things to say. And he did. But the test comes as the rubber meets the road in our Christian life. And maybe God calls us during these times of meetings to make changes to our priorities and to make changes to what's important, what matters to us. But as we go from that point of commitment on out through life, and God says, I want you to do this, I want you to give this up, or I want you to serve me in this way, and we begin to relate and we get out with our friends and with our group of people that we relate to, and the challenges that we were convicted of and the commitments that we made are pretty tough to live out in real life. Because if I really live them out, what will people think of me? You know, I was thinking, you know, in our American society today, persecution and the suffering that we experience, the conflict that we experience because of our faith, you know, it's growing. We see more of that. We receive more challenges to our faith, and it's becoming more difficult. And I believe that's going to continue as we grow on, as we go on through time. But I think the tougher challenges lie even within our circles, within the people that we relate to, even within our own Christian circles, as we think of being totally sold out for God. And I believe that it is strong. Why is it? If you don't agree with me, why is it? If you sit and listen to talk, whether it's at work or whether it's wherever it may be, as you listen to people talk, what are their topics of discussion? Why do they choose the things that they talk about, and spiritual things are so low on the list of things that we talk about daily when we meet with our friends and we sit down and we have times of fellowship together? I mean, people can rattle off all kinds of statistics on sports and all kinds of things. But yet, why is it that spiritual things are so low? I challenge you, in the next month, I want you to take inventory of what your topics are in your work and people that you relate to, and I challenge you to steer those topics toward spiritual things. I challenge you to do that. Toward practical, and I'm not talking about controversial issues like the angels back in Genesis, were they man or were they angels or who were they? I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about practical, rubber meets the road type of Christianity and Bible truth and application. Take a survey of your conversations that you have. What do they contain? I would submit to you this morning that there is more challenge to a sold-out type of Christianity within our Christian circles than we really stop and think about. And so when it comes to meeting like revival meetings where truth is presented and we make commitments and God calls us to make changes and make sacrifices and live sold out for Him, when it comes to really doing that, but then we get out with our friends and suddenly it's, whoa, what do I do? How do I live this out? Because the desire to be accepted and to fit in and to be a part of the crowd, it's like the heat of the sun that Jesus talked about as these plants sprung up. They took earth and they sprung up, but then the heat of really living it out comes to bear on the life, and it's so tough, and those commitments kind of fade away and the plants die. We need to persevere. That's the third P. We need to be present. We need to protect the seed. We need to persevere. If we want fertile soil, if we want a productive soil for the Word of God to take root in our life and produce the kind of results that God intends it to have, we need to persevere. Even when things are tough, even when people might think we're strange, we need to follow the call of God. If we can't persevere in relating the truth, our lives, in living out the truth, our lives will not be productive. And we will wither and we will go back to the way we were before revival meetings. And we'll continue in the same paths. And the fruit, the results of the truth in our lives will not be produced. Are we willing to accept the seed? Are we willing to persevere with the truth and allow it to make a difference in our life at any cost? The next type of soil that Jesus mentions is the soil with the thorns. It says, and some of the seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked out the seed. Jesus, in verse 22, as he explains the parable, Jesus just had a way of pointing all these things out in my life that are a challenge. He points to the challenge of the enemy wanting to come and remove the seed from my life so that I don't think about it and I don't meditate on it. And he wants that gone. He doesn't want me to understand it. He also talked about the pressures that I face, that we face in society and the culture and the people around us who make it difficult for us to really live out the truth. And here he talks about the pull of prosperity. And I believe that's especially true in the land that we live in here. Notice two aspects of life that Jesus talks about as he explains the thorns. The cares of this life, not wrong in themselves. We all have responsibilities. We need to provide for our families, for those around us, and so we have bills to pay. We all do. It's part of life. We need to be responsible. It's part of being a responsible adult to earn a living and pay our bills. It's important. And we do have sick children that need to be taken care of. We have vehicles that need repair. We have homes that need to be maintained. We have farms to take care of and fields to plant and cows to milk. And the list goes on of the cares of this life, the things that burden us, the things that are part of living, the things that we need to do. But somehow, the cares of this life have a way of just sucking us in. And we go on through life one day at a time, and the next day kind of grinds into the next, and we keep on going through life. And after the years gone by, and we're at the next set of revival meetings, and we look back, and have we really grown? Is the truth producing results in our life? Or have the cares of this life crowded out what really matters? Do we allow the truth that's presented to go into our hearts and to stir in our hearts and bring out the results that it's intended to? And as we go on, the cares of this life, the sound of truth knocking becomes more quieter and more distant, and the ways that God spoke to our heart and the commitments that we made somehow get crowded out by the weeds of the everyday events in our life. And I want to challenge us with that this morning. The fourth P that I have here is prioritize. That we prioritize. We're present. We protect the seed. We persevere in spite of difficulties. We also prioritize so that the thorns of everyday living don't choke out the truth that was planted there, that it actually brings the results that God intended it to. Along with that, the second aspect Jesus mentioned is the deceitfulness of riches. You know, I don't think any of us, if I'd a raise of hands, who's aiming to be rich here this morning? I mean, I don't think there'd be any of us that are raising our hands saying, that's my goal, that's why I'm out there working every day. I'm aiming to be rich. But we all have within us, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to have a little bit more? Man, if I just had a little bit more, it'd be easier to make ends meet. Man, if I just had a little bit more, I could do this, and then I'd kind of be satisfied, and I'd be happy. And somehow that satisfaction that we're searching for is always around the next bend, and we get to that point in our life, and you know, there's just always something out there. It's just kind of that illusion that's over the mirage, that's beyond the horizon, and we're trying to catch it, and we can't quite. And satisfaction just never comes. We just want a little bit more, and that new vehicle now, and the bigger property, and we just down the list. And somehow we think it'll arrive with the next level of success. And I think that's the deceitfulness of it. Is that we don't strive to be rich, but that we just want a little bit more. And we don't realize, what we don't realize is that the satisfaction that we thought we would find when we do finally get just a little bit more isn't there like we thought it would be, and we're still left just wanting a little bit more. We just want a little more. And so we strive for that little bit more, and it consumes more and more of our time and our energy, more of our passion, more of attention, and again, the things of God are crowded out. Not because we're trying to be rich. We just want that little bit more. We just want one more thing. We just want to go here, do this, that cruise, that vacation, whatever it might be. It's crowding out, and it crowds out the things of God. It crowds out the truth that's planted in our lives that God wants to use to bring forth fruit that really matters, fruit for eternity, that'll be rewarded someday. And we crowd that out with these temporal things. We need to, if we want productive soil, we need to prioritize. The fifth P that I have is prepare. And you'll find here Jesus talks about the fifth type of soil is the good ground that yielded a crop. And what's the difference here between the soils? As Jesus was talking about the sower was on the same farm. He was sowing here and he was throwing the seed as he was going. And the seed was falling. It was all in the same farm. What was the difference of the soil? How important, Lewis, or those of you, the farmers, Ryan, others, how important is soil preparation? It's about everything, right? If you don't prepare the soil, you're not going to have a crop. And that was the difference here that Jesus, in Jesus' parable, I mean, we had hard ground, we had stony ground, we had thorny ground, and none of those produced any results. But when the seed fell on the ground that was prepared and ready to receive it, that's when the results came. Soil preparation is not a once and done thing. Lowell, when you were spreading limes, how often did you go back? Did you go back to those farms every year to spread lime on the farms?
On the sandy soil.
Okay, pretty much. Lewis, when I'm putting molasses on my garden, should I put it on every year or just once in my lifetime? Every year, yeah. I think it's true with our hearts. Our preparation of our hearts to receive the truth is not just something that's done once and I'm good to go. It's something that we need to cultivate. If our lives are going to produce results, we need to prepare our hearts to receive the truth so that it can go down into the soil, so the birds can't snatch it away, so it can find a place to root and germinate and endure even though the sun comes out and is hot and warm. And even though we feel the pressures of society to cave, that we can stand. And that we can grow and the thorns aren't there. I would like to do, I know this might be confusing, but I have four C's that I would go through just quickly here. Three of them I've taken from what Rick has shared with us, man. I thought it was so good in Sunday school class last Sunday. I've added one to it. And the first one that I have, I've added this one to it, is that we need to choose. It's four C's for preparing the soil. We need to choose. We have choices to make. We need to choose. Jesus said, set your affection on things above. It's a command, but it also involves an intentional choice and deliberate action on our part. That we set our affection. We need to choose the things that matter. We need to value what is eternal. We must choose to value the Word of God. We must choose to value our church family and their input into our lives. We must choose to value times of spiritual input where the truth of God can be sown in our lives and that seed can be planted. We need to choose. You have a choice to make. Nobody else can make it for you. God leaves the choices up to you. Are you going to choose? It's part of preparing the soil to be there when the opportunity arrives. If we don't make these choices, God's word will not be planted in our lives. Satan will steal away the seed. The sun and heat of social pressure will kill it. And the weeds of daily living will choke it out. Guaranteed. The choice is up to us. Set your affections on things above, on things that are eternal. We need to confess. Part of preparing the soil, and Rick had these three C's. It was confess as part of his Run Free, part of the I Run series. But it was confess, cancel, and connect. And I think those are important. In order for God's Word to take root, we need to confess. We need to keep our conscience clear before God. And when God brings conviction or points out areas in our life, we need to be willing to rid our lives of those things and to confess them to God and to repent and to clear our lives from the stones and the things in our lives that would prevent the seed from taking root and producing the results. We need to cancel. We need to cancel the debts of those around us who have wronged us. I thought Rick's message on forgiveness was so good. We need to mourn the hurt. That's true. but we need to choose to forgive. And choosing to forgive is a journey. It's a process. But we do need to choose to forgive. Jesus taught that if we were to experience God's forgiveness, we must choose to forgive those who wrong us. The seeds of God's word cannot sprout in a heart, in the soil of a heart that is made acidic by refusing to forgive those around us. It will kill the plants. As we harbor bitterness and resentment and anger in our hearts toward those around us, we must choose to cancel debt. We must choose to forgive. The third C, we need to connect with others who can encourage and prod us to produce results. We need to connect. Our church family can help us as we make commitments and as we struggle in areas of our lives. And we all have struggles. I do have struggles. And as we face the challenges and as God speaks to us, as we admit those struggles and confess those struggles, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for each other so that you can be healed. And as we acknowledge our struggles to each other and say, you know, the truth of God really pricked my conscience because of what I'm struggling with. Or, you know, it's really convicted me in this area. And then, as we share that, and as we confess that to each other, as we connect with each other in those areas of struggles, my brothers can come alongside me. And I believe that God intends for the body of Christ to be this way, and we don't. We have a lot of surface relationships, and we get along fine on the surface. But are we connecting in areas that really matter so that the truth of God remains in the soil and brings forth fruit? We need each other in order for our to prepare the soil of our hearts so that the seed can be productive, so that God's word and God's truth can produce results in our lives. And as we connect, you can come to me and ask me how I'm doing in that area. And I can come to you and ask you those same questions. And together, we can find victory, and the truth that was planted there by God's word when it brought conviction to my life can grow and can produce results in victory and in freedom and in leading others to that same kind of life that God wants us to live. We need to connect. And I really want that to be a part of... I have down here culture, but I don't really like that word in there. Part of our setting here at Wommelsdorf, that we do, that it is a place where we can and we do connect at deeper levels. It's not just surface relationships where I know what team you're cheering for when the Stanley Cup playoffs are. I say hockey, but that's what, but I know more about you than that. And I can encourage you on your journey. And it's a place where we can find that type of encouragement and support. Not a fake spirituality or a facade, but a genuine place where the soil of our hearts can be developed and the Word of God can take root in our lives and produce results. So I want to challenge you as we've come through these meetings. And if you weren't able to be here, I'd encourage you to get the CDs, the recordings of Rick's messages. We also have his DVDs and some of his material in our library. Avail yourself to the truth that can be planted in your life. Do that. The opportunities are there. But in order to have productive soil, we need to be present. We need to protect it. We need to persevere. We need to prioritize. And we need to prepare. And we prepare our soil by choosing, by confessing, by canceling, and by connecting so that the Word of God can produce in our lives 30 and 60 and 100 fold. I wonder, as God looks at Wommelsdorf as a field, the seed's been planted, what kind of results does He see growing? As He looks at the field of Wommelsdorf and He looks out over our lives, His desire is that the results be there. And He has given us so many opportunities for that seed to be planted. Are we going to allow Satan to snatch it away? Are we going to allow it to be snuffed out? Are we going to persevere and grow for God's honor and glory? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would take your truth and that you would burn it and bury it deeply into our hearts so that Satan can't take it away, so that what grows has deep roots and can withstand the heat and the pressures, and so that the thorns don't choke it out. Dear God, help us to be people that bring, that the results of your truth that's planted in our lives, that it results in growth. To your honor and to your glory, may we live. In Jesus' name, amen.